And we're back, man.
It's about time.
It's happened. The grand uniting.
Yep.
The force has awakened.
The streets have been asking for it.
That's true, man. I get mentions every day. I get people yelling at me in the DMs. They're like, why don't you bring Doxy on? Why don't you just let Doxy talk, man? I'm like, man, Doxy should start his own pod.
Hey, see, but I don't have the clout that you do, so I'm along for the ride.
See, you should get a job where you can sit around and just like tweet the whole time.
Well, I'm working on it.
There you go. See, that's the peak of the pyramid, man. That's how you win.
That's how you get all the clout.
Yeah, you just sit around and tweet all day, man. It's reps. Oh, reps and reps in the gym.
You're right. It makes sense. Makes sense.
How you been, Doxy?
I'm good.
You've been good, man? You still writing for Celtics Blog?
Yeah, I'm finally an adult now. I graduated college, so I'm part of the real world now. Thanks.
I'll throw some confetti. Not premature confetti, but real confetti.
Yeah, well, I think I started throwing my own premature confetti by procrastinating on my last assignments, but, you know, it ended up working out.
If you don't do that, I don't think you really graduated college.
Yeah, it's part of the game.
Only narcs do their assignments on time when it's the last one.
You've never said anything more factual than that.
All right, man. So tell us what you're writing nowadays.
Boost yourself up. I'm still a smart truther. I've been inspired by Sam Sheehan, who also writes for Celtics Blog now. Great addition to the team. As lifelong posters, we like to incorporate nerd culture into our writing. So over at Celtics Blog, I've been kind of throwing some Infinity War references in my work now. It's
spoilers?
Just
a real cool.
I mean, not really. I'm just saying that's a thing that I do. I'm not going to talk about it.
You should put spoilers in there. Punish the people who don't go see it right away.
The people who have been wanting pods.
Yeah.
we should punish our loyal listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I do. That's what keeps them coming back.
No.
You got to keep them hungry, right? You got to keep them hungry.
Right.
Too easy success and they'll get complacent.
You're so right, man. You're
Me
so
and like right. Rick Carlisle, man, we're like disciplinarians.
Of all names to pick.
Right? He's a disciplined guy. That's why Rondo snapped.
That's why Nerlens Noel is tripping right now.
Yeah. Did he get signed yet? Did he get like any money?
He turned down an extension.
I remember that. But...
For his qualifying offer. Yeah, and that was a stupid move.
He's gonna move back to Everett, man. He's gonna move.
No, you think he's gonna sign?
I don't think we have any money, so.
I don't think how much money is he getting?
Yeah, I don't know. Not a lot.
Hey, everybody keeps asking for him. Yeah. So
this is how we're starting the pod, by the way. Nerlens Noel. The Celtics? No. Let's talk about Nerlens Noel. That's what the people want.
Remember when we were supposed to do a State of the League pod?
Yep.
The other...
Oh, we were.
I don't know what happened to that.
You kept blowing me off. That's what happened.
Okay, we're just going to lie on the pod.
For those of you who don't know, because I don't know why you don't compulsively follow me and Doxy and every move, I've been super busy and blowing off Doxy for like 3 months now, 4 months now.
He's not lying.
Yep. So if I make a joke like that, Doxy's actually not to blame. It's all me. But if I don't deflect, then what kind of podcast owner am I?
Right. I mean... That he pays me the big bucks to be the scapegoat.
That's right. Exactly. You're my like Roger Goodell, man. You just got to take all the heat for me. Otherwise, what am I paying you for?
I'm the Kevin Love of the podcast.
Oh, that's right. You can – what did he drop like the other day? Like 15-8 or something? And he still got like yelled at, like called a bum?
He had 22-5, I think.
Oh, okay. Like all right.
In game two.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it was pretty good. He had a pretty decent game.
Yeah, I felt like he torched us.
Yeah,
more or less.
Yeah, him and Korver played pretty well. LeBron,
all things considered,
like they played like that's their role. Like they're not, you know, that's kind of what they're there to do.
They're not playing like J.R. Smith. So.
Yeah, it's hard to play that bad, man. I'm pretty sure you could play basketball and like for the Celtics and not get like a flagrant. Like that's all your job would be.
To give up free points.
Yeah, exactly, and not like piss off Al Horford so he goes on this end of game run where he gets like 7 points, a steal, and 3 rebounds.
Yeah, in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. He just went off.
Yeah, that was it was not his finest moment.
I like how.
But I will say that it was not the NBA's finest moment to not suspend him or fine him or anything else after that. That's a clear flagrant too.
That was like absolutely outrageous. Like everyone knows that rule. You can't push someone in the air like that from behind.
Yeah,
like,
I don't understand the inconsistency of that because it's obvious. Like they've punished people for worse or they punish people for less than that. So I don't understand.
Yeah. DeRozan got flagrant too, for like nothing compared to that, like an actual basketball.
Right. And here we go. J.R. Smith even admitted to it post game that's what he was trying to do. Yep. And they're like, nah, it's fine.
That's what I heard, like conspiracy wise, like because he kind of apologized in the post game.
I don't think he apologized. He said that he would have done it, or I don't remember exactly what he said, but he recognized that he did it. Like he wasn't trying to hide.
Fucking asshole. He's such a fucking asshole. Dude.
And this is it's weird because this is. I mean, we've played J.R. Smith in the postseason like 3 or 4 times now, and in all but one of our meetings, he's injured a key or at least tried to injure a key rotation player. Because remember, he had Jason Terry in 2013 with the and then he got suspended for that one, and then he had then he had Jay Crowder, and then now this time he's trying to go for Al Horford. Like I don't know what he has against. Boston, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, that's crazy. And it's funny
because
this is the likes. You know, this year, like last year, I guess he didn't injure anyone because they knew that they were going to win. But now that it's close, of course, he goes back to
Jay Crowder, right? I thought he injured Crowder.
Well, in 2015, that was
was that 2015
when he
took
his knee out.
Yeah,
which I was still surprised that that knee injury wasn't worse than it ended up being because that looked really bad in real time.
It's all the deadlifts. All the deadlifts.
That's also true.
All the typing in all caps as well.
That's the only way to get stronger these days.
Yeah, type in all caps. That's how people don't get that, and that's why.
I'm a real though. That's so obnoxious to me. It gets me upset. It,
every time he does it, I flip flop so much between finding it endearing and getting mad at him. Like it depends on my mood that day. Like some days I'm like fucking Jay Crowder, type in a normal person. But other days it gets me like hype. Even though he's not a self.
To me, what's even worse is when people who are not Jay Crowder do it. So it's just.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You don't get a pass. You're not like a professional basketball player.
You don't get to be that obnoxious.
Yeah, you're not that. No, you can't do that. You have to be able to pull that off. And when Jay Crowder's playing, you can pull that off. And then when he's not, we all mock him because that's the way of the world.
Because, you know, you have to be rich to get a pass for that kind of stuff, and if you're not rich, you don't get that pass, and it's annoying.
I'm gonna
block it. That's a blockable offense.
That's a blockable offense. Wow, you out there handing out blocks on Twitter?
My block list is actually pretty extensive.
Whoa!
Hey,
I only block people if they make five different accounts between me.
There was somebody.
I'm pretty sure I only have one.
I don't want to call anybody out, but there was somebody in your mentions that was like, "Can you tell him to unblock me?" I don't know if you saw that. I thought that was so funny. If I block you, it's either because you made an injury joke or you got on my nerves. I'm not gonna block people for disagreeing with me or anything, but I'm gonna get mad if you say something like distasteful or
That's right. You're the nice guy on the podcast.
Which is probably why my block list is so extensive, because I can't be dealing with people who are not as nice as me.
You can't deal with that negative energy. Exactly. With Kyrie. You're all positive energy.
If I'm not feeling good after reading your tweet, then I don't want to see it.
You know what? I got to say something about you, though. You're usually a positive guy, but you blame the referees.
I did it once.
You blame the referees, man. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. After all the times you yelled at me.
Yeah, I mean, I get a one-time pass, don't I?
That game was ridiculous. The Tony Brothers game.
No, it's not the Tony Brothers game. It's the Tony Brothers Scott Foster game.
Yeah. That was the most
fixed game. It was a fixed game.
Needs to go. Yeah, that was unreal. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't that mad because, you know, I kind of expected Philly to win that game 4 anyway. Like, their back's against the wall. They're at home. Like, they're going to win one game, right? Probably. But
it was fixed.
They took away any chance of momentum. Fixed. Yeah.
And that. I could not believe my eyes. Like, that was the worst I've ever seen it.
Yeah, that was the worst worst officiated game for the Celtics I've seen.
Yeah, for me, it was ever. Maybe I have a short memory. Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking the Kings, Lakers, stuff way back then.
Yeah.
Remember all that stuff? Like, that was that.
It was.
Like, where Kobe took 25 free throws.
I couldn't believe my eyes just to see. Like, it's not even the consistency of the calls. It was just. The timing and the type of calls they were. I don't even know how to describe it. I've tried to purge all memory of that game, but it was bad. And I And, you know, ever since, I remember when I first, like, my first full season as a fan, like, 2010-11, I used to let games, like, really get to me. Like, I would, you know, I was a kid, I would take it personally and everything. I'd get, like, real life mad when we would lose, especially, like, big playoff games. And, but after we lost in 2012, game seven, I was sad, but I was like, all right, you know, it's fine. This is fine. It's cool. It's whatever. Right? Because the old man Celtics had already put me through all the emotions that season. So I was like, you know, I'm not going to get mad about this. You know, it's just
I knew they were losing that game after LeBron went off.
And which is like, and it's frustrating because Rondo had a great game. Yeah, Ray Allen. Did.
Yeah, Rondo always shows up. Yeah, it's the playoffs, man. Rondo's going to be there.
But after that, I haven't really let games like really bring me down. But game four against Philly made me real life upset. Like
when we were up 3-0, that's the game you pick in the series. We were like, inevitable.
No, I know. But, well, first of all, A, it led to 2 full days of what if the Celtics are going to be the first team to give up a 3-0 lead? And all that.
Oh, man, you entertained that? Like, I just laughed. Like, I saw a little bit.
I saw a lot of it. So.
Man, how much time you spent?
It wasn't even Philly. It wasn't Philly Twitter. Like I told you, I really have no ties to process Twitter outside of digging up like old receipts for InfoWars Twitter, I guess. But
call them.
Yeah, I can't sugarcoat it. It was like national NBA Twitter that was getting on my nerves and get, you know, throwing up these takes. And I was like, you guys can't be this serious. Like, you can't be serious about this. We're up 3-0. Like with our 2 best players missing, you cannot be criticizing the team right now. But it's not even that. It's not
this
even
is
that.
So
it's
off just, brand.
Like,
for you.
My biggest thing is not. I don't care about the result. I care about how. Like, if we're clearly outmatched, then I don't like. It is what it is. We lose. But if we're losing because Tony Brothers and his ego is teaming up with Scott Foster and his ego, then I'm not okay with that. And I already know that's
this is so out of character for you. Well, I love it. I've never heard
because
you talk like this.
Here's the thing, it doesn't happen that often where you can really point to a referee consistently or 2 referees consistently throughout the entire game and say they impacted the game negatively, right? So like, let's say that you're playing a close game, it's decided by 1 possession, and the refs make a questionable call and your team loses. Well, my philosophy is always that, hey, you shouldn't have been in a position where you're relying on 1 call at the end of the game to win a game. Then you deserve to lose. That's my philosophy. But the game wasn't close because of so many calls, which is...
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think just where they were in the... And this is kind of... This sucks because this is what the NBA gets away with because like people like me saying this stuff. But because of where the series was, I just wasn't mad about it.
Yeah, you know what is watching it?
I didn't care.
And plus, I left work early that day because it was a 6 o'clock tip. So it's just a combination of things that just got me very.
You know what I did, dude? I had to technically be at work. I shifted all my clients around to watch it at work.
That's really smart.
I was on the clock, man. I was on the clock watching that fucking travesty.
That's pretty.
So maybe like getting paid offset, like kind of what happened.
Well, that's probably you cashing checks while I took a pay cut to watch us lose to Tony Brothers and Scott Foster. But
yeah, the only reason I don't like it is because we don't get to say we swept them, which I think would be
without our 2 best players.
But you know, the games are close to the games.
Yeah, and even game 4, we only lost by 11, which all things considered is really
nothing. Yeah, they should have won by way more.
Yeah. That was very out of character for me, but I was extremely mad online about it.
This whole rant, you're still mad.
It was frustrating. Yeah, should have swept them. And now,
did you write an article like saying like, we swept the process. Now what's next? And now you rewrite it. That's the only reason.
To be fair, I thought we were gonna lose game 3, which is why I signed up to write the recap on Celtics blog, and we ended up winning in overtime. So I was like, okay, I've already invested this much. We better sweep because I'm trying to get rest for Jalen and everything is. I'm telling my grandkids about the confetti game.
That's one of the funniest things to ever happen. Yep. Sports. Like, that's not even like just as Celtics fans were exaggerating. Like, that's hilarious. You drop confetti for it's not even like they thought they won. Like, I would get that. Like, let's say they went up by 1 and then Horford hits a shot or something. Like, that's like, that's funny, but it's not as funny. This, like, you launch confetti for a game that's like clearly going to overtime.
You launch confetti for a game in a series where you're down 0-2.
Yeah. There's so much about it.
And then you end up losing. The ultimate irony of it all is just.
I couldn't believe, just kind of like, that didn't look like.
Not. It wasn't even close.
That's the funny part.
His heel wasn't even on the line. Like,
that's
what confused me the most. Is like, how could you watch that and think, "Oh my god, that's clearly a three. It's a wrap." Like,
yep, exactly. We won. Oh my god, yeah. Bellinelli too, because they don't trust Simmons. They don't trust Embiid. That's my only take on that.
Yeah,
it was an effective use of a role player. If they don't trust him.
Yeah,
right. That's how.
Because I mean, the obvious option would be to dump it to Embiid it down low because we don't have anyone. Because I don't think Bames was in the game that last possession. So.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was. I can't remember, but
which I mean, I guess you can, you know, as a coach, you don't want to gamble on Al Horford making a mistake, but defensively, but still. And you know that they weren't going to Ben Simmons with, like, what, a second left? What's he going to do, shoot a three?
yeah, please. They might kill a spectator.
Yeah, you can't really count on cowards to win the game for you.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want
that. The funny thing, shout out to Jack Michael, but the funny thing was literally all series, I was real life yelling, shoot a three, you coward, at my TV.
Oh, yeah. I did it every time. I did it every fucking time he got the ball at the top of, like, the key or, like, beyond the arc and just, like, he just didn't shoot.
It was, like, the game two when he had, like, one, what was it, 1 point or something like that? Yeah, 1 point.
Yeah,
1 point. there was that one screenshot where he was two Al Horford's length away from Al Horford.
Yep. Oh. Yeah, but it just wouldn't.
I legitimately yelled at my TV, shoot a three, you coward. So I was screaming.
That was amazing. Like, here's the thing. Like, Giannis has a bad jump shot, but, you know,
and he'll make a few.
Like, you can't. Yeah, he'll make a few. Exactly. It's not like he's like a Marcus Smart bad from three. He can still take them, but, like, Ben Simmons literally can't take them. Like, he can't even take a few steps inside and do the Kevin Garnett. Like, he has to be, like, in the paint. Yeah. He's just not scoring, which scoring. You know, people are like, I don't know, people have weird takes about it. And I'm just like, that's kind of a big issue.
It is. Like, I mean, you got to be able to do something, which is kind of the crux of even Rondo's career. But Rondo could score when he wanted to. Like, Rondo had a weird attitude about it, but he had the ability. Also,
here's the thing about Rondo, and as much as I love Rondo, it's never been like just Rondo can't, like, you know what I mean? Like, Ben Simmons is going to have to be
the guy,
I think, more important than Rondo. Yeah. Like, he hasn't beat, obviously, but I think it's basically he has to always be, like, one of the most – like, Rondo is super important, but he wasn't – comparing him to Ben Simmons feels weird just because Rondo's role has either been, like, with the big three, kind of working with them, even when he was, like, one of the best players with the big three. That's a totally different dynamic, I think. Just kind of – I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see, though.
But, hey, but listen, all I know is that Brett Brown got coached circles around him by Brad Stevens. It was a wrap, and the funny thing is watching Ty Lue have the same thing happen to him.
Oh yeah, Ty Lue is completely overmatched. The one thing I did like was that he finally recognized that Tristan Thompson would be like, "Hey, pretty good, just play that guy."
Literally, just go in and stop Horford. That's the only thing. But here's my thing, right? And here's why I know that this series it's a wrap for Boston. Ty Lue has no other adjustments to make.
That's bold.
He's gotten.
That was his one adjustment.
He could have done on top of begging LeBron to have a monster game. Both of those things happened, and they still lost by 14. That's so crazy to me.
It's like if you told me LeBron had like a vintage, it wasn't quite game six.
I mean, well, if we're being honest, like, it's almost game six. It was basically game six, LeBron. Though.
I think he was less than turnovers more than
he shot 70% in game six a couple years ago. But still, like, numbers wise, I guess we're more accustomed to seeing him throw up 40-point triple doubles, which is why it's weird to me that game six still has like this vaulted place in everybody's memory. But
just because of who he did.
Also, the elimination game. That makes sense. But that's like a pedestrian LeBron game now.
Also, I think I think at the time that was Celtics. I don't think I'd lost a series to them yet, really. Maybe one. Yeah.
Wait,
like the Celtics were still my father at that point.
No, they lost the first two games. Remember, they lost the.
No. I meant playoff series, like the whole series.
They
was that the first time they had lost.
No, they lost the year before.
Or LeBron?
In five games. That was the year LeBron Rondo had his elbow
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But yeah, they had never lost to well, the Celtics weren't healthy either year. Because we were missing Avery Bradley, Jeff Green, Chris Wilcox, or CJ Wilcox.
Yeah.
So. Jalen Brown Jeff is Green. Already 10 times anything that Jeff Green ever gave us.
Oh, God, I got to go back and find those tweets and delete them.
the Jeff Green finally figured it out tweets? Yeah. You're not alone.
No, I love Jalen, but I was just teasing. Like, I in his rookie year, I almost said freshman, but in his rookie year, I could see some Jeff Green in this game. Not like, just like, kind of like he would like get like a little lost almost. And that reminded me a lot of Jeff Green. But that was probably, you know, he's 20 years old. Jason Tatum does the same thing.
Remember our last pod, or was it two pods ago, when I said that Jason Tatum's attitude was his biggest problem?
Oh, yeah. Wow. You shouldn't
have. Well, here's the thing. He changed his attitude and now he's balling.
You're adjusting your take.
No, I'm not. He changed his mentality and things are going better now. Like,
that's a
it's not a cop out. What I said was true in January, and what I'm saying now is true in May. He did a lot.
All right, skip.
All right, don't even go there. this is nowhere near a Skip Bayless level take.
I get what you're saying. You're right. He's been much more.
Ever since, I guess maybe it was because Jaylen Brown went off those first two games against Milwaukee. Like, I guess seeing that, it inspired him, I guess. I'm not going to make definitive takes on his mentality or whatever, I guess he saw that a guy that young can take over playoff games. It's straight up just playing basketball. So,
Jason Tatum was so good.
Yeah. It's cool to see like our young guys take turns. Like, it was Jalen's series in Milwaukee, then Jason's series in Philly, and now Jalen's back dominating. That's ridiculous.
What I gotta say? For those two, yes, I agree that it was Jalen's series, but Milwaukee, that's all Al Horford, baby.
Oh, yeah.
That was Al Horford's, like, slap in the face on NBA Twitter. Like, Al Horford completely dumped. Al Horford looked like freaking
McCall. He did.
He was unreal, man. I can't even overstate it. Like, he was just such a force on the defensive end. He was a force on offense. He bullied Giannis in the post all series. Like, it was an absolutely phenomenal performance. Like, it was unreal how good Al Horford was against Milwaukee.
And we already forgot.
Like, if you watch that. Yeah. I don't blame you. Because he it was still kind of quiet. It wasn't like he was dropping 40.
Did drop, like, 20-10 several times, which is, like you said, slap in the face to box scores winner.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was, like, he was dominant. Like, if you watch those games, there's no way you could come up with any other opinion than, like, Al Horford.
Well, the problem is that people,
like, he was so good on
people
defense.
Don't watch games.
Yeah, exactly. And they think it's like the 90s, and they get mad that he doesn't have like 12 rebounds.
God, people are so stupid.
He's been rebounding five in the playoffs, too.
Averaging 9, I think. I don't know about as far as the Cavs series, but up until the Cavs series, he was averaging like 7. He was averaging like 18 and 9 in the playoffs. So.
Yep. And the most important thing is that the Celtics are rebounding well. Like, that's the most
Terry does a great job. Marcus does a good job. I don't know about Mook, but Mook. Hey, listen, we need to talk about Mook, but I don't know if we want to talk about Mook right now. But
we can talk about Mook right now if you have a feeling that you want to express about Flash Dad. Then
I actually owe Flash Dad a great debt because I got a 2,000 like tweet based off of him shutting down LeBron.
That's true. You did. You went viral.
I also went viral with my prediction for Game 2. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Where you said, did you say, like, LeBron will go off all he can?
Yeah. And here's the thing, right? I didn't even after I saw that happen, I didn't understand why people were making such a big deal out of it. Because I felt like that was, like a conclusion, like a foregone conclusion. Like, we all knew it was going to happen. Like, I saw people going wild over it. I was like, why are you guys tripping? I mean, I guess just the fact that I said 40-point triple-double.
Yeah, like, no, you called it exactly. Like, I said LeBron's going to go off and I think the Celtics will win, but you, like, hit the fucking nail on the head, dude. You said 40-point triple-double. You got a 45-point
triple-double. And you know the only thing that ruined the perfection of that tweet? Abdel Nader, three-pointer. If Nader didn't hit that three-pointer, I would have been spot on with the 10-point victory thing.
Struck again. One last fucking joke.
I hope it's his last.
Oh man, I wish he was Jabari Bird so bad.
I mean, not that it would make a difference in any of the games that we played so far. Well, I guess I'm gonna rescind that because without Shane Larkin,
it's a kind of a big deal, right? I think so too. Like we'd need another guard. It's literally Marcus and Terry.
That's funny. I mean, like I know that, but just thinking about it is weird.
Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't be like a huge difference, but it'd be nice if he could go out there and give him some freaking rest.
Or right. Even in garbage time. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And Jawai Bird's a pretty good player.
Me too. Yeah, he's still not verified on Twitter. It's kind of tragic.
I know, I saw that. I was like, I thought it was a fake account.
Me too. It was because Twitter shut down their public application to be verified. Yeah.
Oh, really? So being a professional basketball player is not good enough now. What hope do we right? have?
I mean, I only know that because I tried, but it's cool. Don't worry about it.
Did you? Yeah, you could have got it before, because they used to verify anyone, dude.
I mean, as long as I have a link to my produced works, I guess.
I don't know about Jabari Bird's personal life, but I hope his honey game isn't affected by the fact he's not verified. I just want to throw that out there. I hope he's not married, but I just want to say, Jabari Bird, I hope you're okay.
Okay.
I hope Maine's treating you nice. That's all they do, by the way, dude. Like, if you look at, like, any of the G-League players, it's, like, random girls from Maine that end their favorites.
Yeah, I remember you were telling me about back when Terry was going to the G-League. His Instagram likes are just all girls from Maine.
Yeah, random girls from Portland, Maine, dude.
I actually had a friend who said that she went to a club and saw Marcus and Terry right after I remember it was one of the games against Milwaukee. I was like, and she said it's so casual.
Really? Oh,
I was like,
cool.
Okay. That's what we're doing.
I guess I'm glad they hang out off the court.
I mean, one's got to go eventually, but as long as they're friends.
This is kind of funny though, because like that was kind of like the thing originally, because they're both kind of. You know, they're both similar in terms of personality in some ways. Like, I think they're both, like, very aggressive, and they like to be, like, the guy. And, you know, I think it's easy in a situation like that to kind of get resentment bred in. You know, because they're competing for, like, the same touches.
And I'm sure that
stuff.
They know. And they don't have it. They know the situation cap-wise.
Yeah, they know it's one or the other. Yeah. They have to know it's one or the other. Like, one of them is leaving.
I will say that Wick is giving me a lot of hope in terms of how much money he's going to shell out. Just because, in 2023, it's going to be insanely expensive to have Kyrie, Jalen, Jason, and Gordon. Like, not even considering Horford.
I think Gordon will be gone by 2023. I think Gordon doesn't
get
another contract.
Yeah, and I said that from the jump. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I don't know if you remember that.
Kyrie will get a second. He's going to get
an extension this summer, I hope. I don't think so.
I hope so.
I know that he's definitely resigning with it. But right when we signed Hayward, I knew that this was going to be like a, hey, let's get a championship in the next 4 years kind of move. And then
it's not even an insult to Gordon Hayward or anything. It's just the reality.
Yeah, because we drafted two wings, assuming that they're going to be our future superstars. And it's kind of coming a little sooner, but that's fine with us.
Yeah.
One thing that this playoff run has shown me is that we're definitely winning a championship in the next 4 years.
I don't even think that's like really.
It's not.
I mean, obviously, when it comes to injuries and stuff, you can never predict it. We might come really close a bunch of times and never get one.
Yeah.
You never know. Like injuries
but
can happen.
If we're but doing think, this, assuming with two of our guys missing, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Yep. Like that. It's absolutely astounding how good the Jays are playing. Like,
and not even the Jays. Terry Rozier came out of nowhere.
Oh yeah, Terry Rozier. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm like, I don't know, because I think he's probably gone.
Yeah. But whatever he brings us back, we'll still have value. So
to a degree, because I don't even know how the money situation works. We're so like
if we're winning championships, I'm just hopeful that they're not going to complain too much about that bill.
Yep. The interesting thing you can do, I think, is let's say you're leaning Marcus, that's like who you're leaning towards. You pay him, and then you kind of see how he does,
and then trade him later.
Then either trade him or trade, like if he plays well, you trade.
But
him.
But my thing like, is, what you kind of plan? Terry Rozier's value will never be higher than it is now.
Yep, no, I agree. But I don't think you're gonna get. I don't think you care that much about value, almost, if that makes sense. Just because, like, you kind of hope, like, if they're looking like really good, you might just keep the backcourt together or something, or you can trade Terry. Like, if they're looking really good, like, I mean, I know Danny might not have this view because Danny takes a super long-term view. But let's say, like, you look really good with that backcourt. Like, they're, like, stellar. Do you just accept that you're losing Terry for nothing? Because what's the value that you're actually going to get back? Like, a mid-first pick for an expiring contract player? Like, I don't think you get a ton for
that. I think you, like, can get, you can get one of those Clippers picks. Because they have 12 and 13. You give them Terry and 27 for 13.
No. That's a good one. They're the type of team that could go for that.
Yeah, and they're not the only ones. I think I have to take a look at those.
Oh, that's a good one, man.
I thought of it like right when I saw that they had back-to-back picks. I was like, oh, that's all Danny. That's all Danny.
That's a Danny layup, baby.
Yeah, because I mean, their point guards going into next season are Lou Will and Austin Rivers. So unless they're like married to the idea of keeping those two as their like de facto guard,
are they like trying to win? Actually, I don't even know.
I mean, to be honest, Cleveland should probably trade for Terry Rozier with that 8 pick, like Terry and 27 for number 8. But of course, they would never do that, especially like optics wise, considering that we just pulled off highway that's robbery. Terrible.
Also, that's a really bad
trade. Yeah, no, I know. for number 8, that's a stretch.
I get your point. Like, that type of thing. Like, if it wasn't 8, like, if it was, 13 or something, I get what you're saying.
Well, I guess Denver should be all right with Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. And
They're good at that. I really like Jamal Murray. I'm happy.
Yeah, me too. Philly would never trade with us again. Though they honestly should consider it, but they would never trade it. I don't know.
No. What do they have? I don't even know what they have 10. To give us. They're not getting
10. No, I know. But they need a Terry Rozier.
They do. They could definitely use a Terry Rozier. Maybe Avery Bradley, right?
If they have to pick between J.J. Redick and Avery Bradley, I'm taking J.J. Redick again.
Yeah.
But I think that they should still hold out for Klay Thompson in 2019.
Oh, that's
if they don't get Paul. If they don't get Paul George, this, which I think Paul George is a much better fit for their team than LeBron James, but whatever.
But he's LeBron James.
I mean, LeBron obviously makes it, but think about what it does to.
No, I get what you're saying, but I think you just trade Simmons. Like, if you get LeBron,
they're not going to try to like
get someone.
There's no way they trade Simmons anytime in the next like 8 years.
If they sign LeBron,
LeBron's only signing a 1 year deal. So,
yeah, but you're assuming that they're like a smart company organization.
Yeah. Which,
what if you could get Kawhi? What if you could get Kawhi
for Simmons? I don't even,
and other like well, something else. Or
maybe honestly, not, I think actually. A Kawhi deal.
He's on an expiring contract.
I feel like you kind of have to keep Simmons if you're getting Kawhi, because like Fultz is not good enough to where you know that he can be. Yeah. A starting point, because then you're stuck with like Jared Bayless, or
LeBron's just.
Oh, you mean LeBron and Kawhi?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I wasn't saying trade Simmons for like Kawhi just like for no reason. I was saying like if you got LeBron, flip Simmons for Kawhi.
I would do that.
Yeah, and then you still lose to the Celtics and Celtics.
But... and even if you get past the Celtics, you still get swept by the Warriors.
Right. So, yeah, I don't see a lot of good paths for LeBron, and which is like seems bizarre Houston. To say,
which. But it's not feasible in the sense that I don't see how they trade Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon.
Yeah,
people keep saying that. It's financially possible, and I'm like, why people keep talking about it.
Yeah, but then like it's basically the big three.
And nothing. And Capella.
And then Capella, which is good. You know, that's great. But then nothing. Like, and not like kind of nothing like the Cavs. It's like literally nothing.
it's like
worst players than the Cavs have.
Your
right
next
now,
best player after that the big four. Would be like Luke Richard and Bamute. So
yeah,
Which I still think that it should still be Cleveland next year for LeBron. Like, I don't see him really going anywhere.
That's interesting because I know that was your opinion for a while, and that was my opinion for a while. But
you think the Lakers?
I don't know
like
anymore.
I feel like you're about to tell me that you want him to go to the Lakers.
No, I want him to go to Houston because I think that'd be a fun game to watch. Like, even if like all that shit happened. But where he should go, maybe Philly. Like, if I was LeBron, like in this scenario, let's say like I'm LeBron and I'm awesome.
All right,
this is cool. Hey, I'm gonna buy.
Strive for greatness. Just but, the kid from Akron.
Yep, I'm already going on Instagram and tweeting my own highlights. So. I still can't believe he did that. And then like it was a thing for like 2 weeks. He did that, and then he stopped doing it. And it was,
yeah. Like, hey, and then yeah, but right now you're in a zero dark 30-23, so you're not allowed to tweet.
Oh, I'm not allowed.
Those are the rules. Right.
He has to have his burner account. He has to get Wendy to tweet for him. That I like how that anonymous Cavs player, like FIFA, tweet.
That was 100% LeBron
source. Yeah, 100%. Like that comes out. Yeah, exactly. They stole my Kyrie. I'm the king. You can't steal my Kyrie.
They stole my Kyrie.
That's how I like the picture it went down. I like the picture.
I like to think that LeBron sends Kyrie "you up" text at like 3 a.m. You're like,
oh yeah, he has to. LeBron's. I mean, Kyrie's way too happy to see the Celtics winning the series for any other explanation.
You up?
Yeah, you up.
So
he sends them like a montage of them together, like doing like at least and stuff,
like those behind the scenes videos of them like laughing together.
Yeah, remember the good times? It wasn't all bad. It used to be better.
We can fix this.
Think of the children. JR misses you.
Or like, listen, I got back together with Dwayne Wade. The same thing can happen with
us. Yeah, the same thing can happen with us. It doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah, that's
But yeah, so back to LeBron, where he's actually going and not his fantasies about Kyrie.
Philly doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I just want to throw that out there.
But what if they offered to trade Simmons? But
that's not gonna happen.
That's kind of like we're getting too deep into the wave pool there. That's a lot of speculation. Yeah, Philly doesn't make it. Yeah, I wouldn't expect Philly if I was him. Like, I just don't believe. Kind of, they don't really compliment them that well. Like Embiid does fine,
Embiid takes up space that LeBron needs.
Yeah, so exactly. Embiid can get a little black hole-ish on offense.
Which is how his game plan was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's like, fine, go.
Do your thing.
Do your thing, man. We're just shooting threes. Three is great.
And Aaron Baines swallowed him up for a long Baines stretch. Well. So that was fun. It was fun to watch.
He did. It was awesome because Horford obviously defends Embiid well, but you don't want that all game. Because then he gets like tired, he gets fouls, things like that. Like even though he's doing a good job. So you just have Bane swallow it up and then the clutch you put Horford on him.
It works perfectly.
Yeah. Absolutely worked perfectly. But yeah, so LeBron, I guess the Lakers, I don't know. Like they're not that appealing of a team, right? Like
I saw somebody tweet this morning, I was like, they were like, I hope LeBron sees that playing with Laker kids doesn't actually work in real big games.
Right, yeah, like
Clarkson and Nance, who looked really – I'm not going to say they looked really good in L.A., but they looked a lot better than being at
– Nance looked way better than this. What the hell happened to Nance?
He had a real point guard. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that. No, I'm just playing. LeBron is 10 times the point guard that Lonzo Ball is.
Yeah, but Nance is surprised. Clarkson is surprised.
Yeah, no, he's
– Clarkson was like racking – Clarkson always racked up empty stats in meaningless games. Like, it was just always his thing, and I always saw that. Nance, I thought, would have been...
An athletic big, and the Cavs were starved for athleticism.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just not sure why that marriage hasn't worked a little better. Probably Lou.
100%.
Probably Lou. Like, let's... Like,
even when Thompson was out of the rotation and getting, like, 1 minute in playoff games against Indy, Nance wasn't doing anything with I don't think he was in the rotation against Indy.
No, he really wasn't. So. And, it's hard to adjust players on the fly like that, but something has to come on Lou. Like, I get the backlash to, like, a lot of professional NBA guys are like, hey, like, you guys are being unfair to Lou this way, X, Y, Z. Like, at some point, it's fucking fair.
Yeah, no.
Like, nothing is working.
You definitely can't blame LeBron. Kevin Love was injured in that series against Indiana and then came alive against Toronto and has played well against the Celtics.
Yeah, he's been reasonable.
Yeah, but other than that, like, What are they getting, and what are they changing to get anything better? Because I don't see the Cavs changing anything. In game one, the offense was let LeBron do his thing, and he did his thing, but turned the ball over like six times, right? And shot 31%, 7 for 16. Game two, the the offense was still let LeBron do his thing, except he shot better, so it looked better. But in the he didn't nothing changed.
Yeah, nothing changed. You're right. Nothing changed. They did a little more action to get Korver involved.
Well, I also even Tristan, that,
but I don't even know if Tristan got
even that the Korver action. I mean, I guess it was good to have him off the bench, but at the same time, they're matching him up against Smart, who's our best Korver defender. And Korver got loose a couple times because Smart made some uncharacteristic mistakes, which I thought was interesting because I was shocked. Yep. I was like, how is Marcus getting destroyed by these screens? And he eventually caught up because it was like this brief stretch in the second quarter where Korver was going off, or a second or third.
Yep. And I think that's kind of just going to happen.
Yeah, every now and then.
You know, like, there's only so many, like, you can't, like, he was fighting off like two or three screens. And you're right, he was making a few mistakes, going under someone's he shouldn't have, things like that, getting a little bit caught ball watching. But at the end of the day, that window is so small that I think anyone's going to get punished eventually. Like, Korver needs, like, 2 seconds. Like, yeah. I mean, not even 2 seconds.
Yeah.
He needs, like, the thought of the ball appearing in his hands is enough. The three's already
he can jump. He can jump, catch the ball in the air, and it'll still catch. Right.
Korver's a
monster, and he's 36 years old. At the same time, I wish Boston would punish.
Is he fucking 36?
It's crazy. I wish Boston would punish him on defense more. Like, I don't understand how you can match up, because Lou is matching up all his minutes with Smart's minutes, right? So for me, the offense has to be Marcus Smart post up, like almost every trip down.
I think Marcus started to realize.
Well, that, I mean, that's more of a Brad thing. But in Brad's defense, whatever we were doing was working anyway. So it's not like we had to make that adjustment. But
I feel like in the second half, Smart was posting up.
He was. Yeah.
I don't know if it was against Horford specifically, but I know he was getting in there and then running that pick and roll with Al.
Pick and roll
like
with
that.
Al is money some every action. Time.
Oh,
well,
good.
Smart.
I
pick
wish
and roll
Terry could do that
with Al Horford is money. Terry pick and roll is still coming along, but.
I love Terry, but I don't know how like he doesn't see the big role
every time.
I'm like, dude, it's like, right
oh my
there.
God! In his defense, it's a difficult pass to master. But I mean, cause, like even I when I play basketball, I'm like I'm a hooper in the sense of like you know I play basketball like I'll you know and I'm decent at it. But you know I struggle hitting the role man. But like he's a professional basketball player.
he's a professional point guard.
And it's frustrating just because like it's not like he. Tries it and makes some errors every once in a while. He just doesn't even try.
Like he can't make it.
He never sees it. So he'll get into the pick and roll motion and then he'll do like a probe dribble and then he'll probe back out and then get trapped and then they'll trap him.
Every time that happens,
I know. I was like,
I see it. You see it coming, right? You see it coming like a mile off. You're like, oh, here it comes.
And I thought I was going insane noticing it until we all started complaining about it on Twitter because like I was like, there's no way that. We can all be, we're all seeing the same thing.
I mean, that's what I've been saying for a long time, and I think you have too, is that Terry is a good two guard.
He's a two guard in a point guard's body.
Exactly. Which in the modern NBA, I think it's fine. It's not like he's never getting punished. He plays reasonable enough defense. He's pretty long, I think. I feel like he has
he's very athletic too
for his height.
I heard InfoWars Twitter say that Terry and Marcus weren't athletic. Which was,
we're not
like, what? What is that even? What are you talking about?
First off, Marcus is way more athletic.
He's flat footed, like, but he's athletic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's not like a speed demon like John Wall. Or Terry,
which he's pretty fast.
But he's fast. He's that's what I'm saying.
He just
he's
runs
fast.
Funny.
He's more. Yeah, he runs.
You know what it is? I think that it's because it's the way that he places his foot on the ground when he runs, like.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to look for it.
Because I feel like he puts a lot of emphasis on his heels as opposed to his toes. That's
interesting.
Because I remember I watched some kind of sports segment on Dwayne Wade and how he used to run. And it's similar to how Marcus runs. Oh, I think this was around the time Miles Turner came into the draft because he had a weird running thing too.
I do remember.
So that. And I remember that they made a big deal about Dwayne Wade, who also had the same issue but changed it. So I'm hoping that Marcus changes it too, because it's also has like other health issues, like back structural things that can eventually happen.
Heel striking. Yeah.
So I hope that gets fixed. But it's weird watching him run full speed because it feels like he's not going that fast, but he is going that fast. But at the same time, he could be going a lot faster.
He's pretty fast. Like he's not a good leaper off one foot, but everything else is elite. I'm not elite, but he's like
if he's got 2 feet on the jump, he's out jumping almost everyone.
Dude, he has bunnies when it comes to 2 feet jumping.
Like, yo, that highlight against Embiid where he caught the ball and flips it up for the and one, like no look layup. Yeah. That was like the highlight of my life.
Yeah, that's not just strength. Like he got up there. That dude can.
And Embiid is like,
or like that
Embiid
one
is
where
he, like 8 inches taller. So
yep,
that yeah, was.
Also, he had that. I think of the Marcus Smart highlight he had over Randall
years ago. The putback dunk.
Like because he had 2 feet on the ground and he can jump to the fruit of the
rim. He hit the Raptors, I think.
yeah, that's. I think so too. I think he got stuck up there for a little bit. They had to pause the game.
Yeah, that was. They had to go fish him out. He landed on his back pretty hard. That Randall putback. I was concerned.
Oh yeah, dude. He used to do that a lot. He doesn't do that much anymore. He used to hit the fucking deck really hard, like on his back.
Yeah. That was
because the lunatic.
I definitely don't think that Ty Lue has anything else in the bag though. It's a wrap.
Yeah. No.
It's a wrap. Okay. Huh? Well, game three. Well, listen. We have home court advantage, right? So everybody keeps making a big deal out of, oh, the Celtics need to prove they got to win on the road. Like, why do we have to prove that when the Cavs can't even, like, light a candle to us in the garden?
Yeah, they really can't. Like, that first half of game two felt
that was the best.
That's LeBron hitting a ridiculous shot. Get. Yeah, that's their peak, and they went to the halftime 4-point lead.
And that's not even like that's the funny thing, it's not even like we didn't even go down that much, like we took their best shot and went into the half down by 4.
Yeah, it was
and that's like regardless of the fact that we came back and won after that.
Yeah, so, exactly,
like we went down by 10
as soon as I saw how they were scoring, I was totally fine with it. Like, how are you mad about LeBron hitting like turnaround threes or threes at all? Like, take those, dude. Go ahead.
And he was taking some heat check ones too, right? Every time he did, I was like, that was
he was
checking it off. Like,
he missed way more threes than people think, like down the stretch in that game. Like, he wasn't that efficient in that game. He was decently, but it wasn't like
you can make the argument that his assertiveness waned after the contact with Jason, but I don't want to hear that argument because we're playing without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So
yeah, exactly. And Marcus Smart's hand is clear, like he's a bad shooter.
He's shooting like 22% from three.
yeah, that's not. He's bad. He's
but
not bad.
To be fair to Marcus, he's taking a lot less, I feel like, at least. Which is good.
He is. He always does that in the postseason.
Well, in the postseason, I feel like he takes the same amount, but makes more. But this year...
He takes better shots. This year, he has adjusted because he knows he can't...
But he also knows that he can't be a liability to not shoot because there's basically no offense because of Kyrie. Well, there is offense, but there's no Kyrie to bail out possessions.
Twitter literally can't understand this, and it drives me up a wall. Like, you have to take open threes. Like, you just
and
why is this so hard for him to get? Brad says this all the fucking
time. Yeah, he's literally the one telling Marcus to keep shooting.
Yeah, people act like that. That's what drives me insane. They act like Brad isn't, like, the one that's fine with Marcus shooting. Not every three. Obviously, there's some threes that I'm sure Brad wants to go on the court and, like, push him. Like, I'm gonna
stop that. As if he could, but yeah.
That's right. That's true. But, like, Brad says that all the time. If you're open, if Marcus is open for three, he needs to take it. Like, that's just, it is what it is.
But,
like, you can't ruin the offense that way. Like,
you know, one thing I'm never going to call Marcus is a coward.
Yeah, Marcus is certainly not a coward. Marcus will take as many threes as you need to prove that
he's
not a
coward. And then he'll come on Twitter and threaten you and tell you what's up. Were you there? Were you there for that?
Yep, I remember that.
That was good content.
No, that was good. Marcus hops on Twitter every once in a while to give like old people shoes. Or do you remember that when he gave the kid shoes?
Marcus is a very generous and charitable man, according to
dude. He does a lot.
Yeah,
he does a ton of charity, you know, especially with cancer research and stuff. I believe
that's why I'm glad. I'm glad that we're making this playoff run this year because of his mom and everything that's going on with her. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's so cool, man. That's something like
that's an underrated story of the.
That is an underrated story. Like that's awesome. I mean. Feels terrible. I can't even imagine how he's playing. But that's cool.
And he's playing well too. He's getting all the hustle 50-50 balls.
He's the key, man. He's the
fucking
key.
I don't understand how you can watch this game, like the game of basketball when Marcus Smart is in and say that it doesn't contribute to winning. Or like say that you can't have him on the floor. Or say that Julius Randle's better at basketball than him.
Julius Randle, to be fair to him, had a better season than like he's ever.
Yeah, this
had
was
before,
his best season by far.
Yeah, he looked like an NBA player this season. But that's Marcus Smart, dude. He's so valuable to the Celtics.
Like, if you're talking about value added, I would never take Julius T-Rex Arms Randall over Marcus Smart. And I still get upset when people make the claim that Marcus can't guard 1-5.
He can guard some.
Let's say, I mean, even Embiid couldn't punish Smart in the couple of possessions that he got switched on. So, he's locked up Porzingis. He locked up Millsap in the playoffs on the national stage. People seem to forget that. Like, he's not going to go down there and, like, move Aaron Baines in the post, obviously.
No, I don't think that's possible.
But how many low post players in the NBA can genuinely punish Marcus 9 out of 10 times?
Yeah, no, I don't. Like, Anthony Davis probably could.
That's the only matchup. Or maybe Cousins, because Cousins is a tank, too.
Cousins. We're listing
all NBA players. Second team all NBA players.
Yeah. You really can't punish Parker. Like, it's amazing to me that Big still try that. Like,
Tristan Thompson in the post on Smart. Come on.
Yeah, like, what do you, you're in such big trouble. You don't even realize how much trouble
it is. It's funny to the point where
I love the look in their eyes they get. Like, they realize they can't back them up and they have to start looking to pass out of it.
It's funny seeing, like, national writers recognize this, because I remember Smart got switched on to Love and I saw a bunch of people saying, like, that's not a mismatch. What are you doing? I felt so proud. I was like,
yeah, who doubled? Someone doubled the other day and got pissed.
Yeah, no, that's baby food for Marcus. What the fuck are you doing? That's baby food.
Yeah, that's...
you
don't fucking go out there. Leave him out there.
The weirdest thing to me, though, is, and this is so impressive to me, is that Marcus can't guard LeBron in the post. Like, I don't know if you... Like, LeBron is a guy that can punish... Like, if they're guarding, face up, then Smart can take him, but if LeBron is backing Smart down, he's getting all the way to the rim, and that's it.
He did game one. Marcus got him. Game one, Marcus had the two strips in the post. But yeah, game two.
I'm just talking like strictly strength wise, backing him down. Like, Smart looked like a paperweight compared to LeBron, which is absurd because Marcus has to be in the top.
Do you know what LeBron does though? I think that he generates a lot of speed coming into the post, which other players don't. Like, when he turns his back to the basket, he doesn't stop.
Right.
He doesn't give Marcus time to set his feet, which he can do against, like, idiots. Like, or, like, because they, like, are so used to being stronger than everyone that they like, stop. They slowly start backing up. LeBron kind of does that smooth transition into it. That's what I noticed.
He drives
with his back into the post. He's just going. Like, he looks like a battleship.
So you think it's not as much of a strength thing? I mean, obviously, LeBron
I think it's strength, but
so it's more, like, strategy.
But it's strategy. It's LeBron. He's the best player in the league, and he's a genius. Like, he's smart.
It was funny watching him go play by play in that run after the game was it game two, which is kind of a snarky, terrible thing to do to a journalist, but
it was extremely rude. He was taking out his anger with the loss. Like, I don't really care when players are rude, but she didn't ask for that.
To LeBron's defense as well, it was also a terrible question. Like, I hate.
Didn't LeBron miss his own turnover in that sequence too?
Yeah, he did.
I heard something about that. he glossed over that. He's like, then we lost the ball, and I was like, damn.
Besides the Jordan Crawford reference, but I'm sure he wished he had Steve's on his team, but I hate questions that are I hate walk me through questions. I hate tell me what happened questions, and tell me what were your feelings when questions. Well, that one is a little better, but the first two are like the cardinal sins for journalists asking athlete questions. I hate that question.
Is that what they teach?
No. Is this a personal thing? It should be something that they teach.
It should be, yeah. You're going to be a professor one day. Professor's off you. If I see any of you motherfuckers.
You're never covering the beat ever again. it's so annoying because – And that's also another thing I appreciate about Brad Stevens is that he's never rude, even when he gets like the worst questions. He always gives thoughtful questions, which is what makes Greg Popovich less excusable in my mind.
Yeah.
Generally, obviously he's going through stuff in the recent playoff run.
Yep.
But generally,
I think Pop mostly his quotes, if you read them, come off worse than when he says them, like cause he obviously knows the reporters. Right. But sometimes he is rude. Like, sometimes he is But other times his rude quotes are, like, him messing with a reporter he knows.
I think he's, like sometimes when he's talking to Doris, like, that makes me angry. Or at least it's Salters, right? Like.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, I mean, I feel like they have earned the respect to at least, like, not get angry Pop for a one-word answer.
I agree.
Because, like, they're just trying to do their job, you know?
So. Yeah.
I don't know how we got to Greg Popovich, but.
Yeah, we got the Greg Popovich somehow. We start off with Nerlens Noel, and we're going to finish with Greg Popovich.
Welcome to Revenge of the Parquet.
Yeah, really, welcome to Revenge of the Parquet. There's no
anything rules. Goes.
Yeah, anything goes. But, yeah, no, give me your official Cavs prediction. So, how many games?
Celtics in five, just because I'm going to game five. By the way, I'm going to game five. I don't know if you knew that.
You're going to game five?
You didn't see my tweets.
No, I fucking didn't see your tweets. Why don't you text me? You have my number.
But I thought you saw my tweets. Yeah, no, well,
dude, do you know how many mentions and shit I have?
This is also true. You have like 6,000 followers. It's funny because I used to be like, yo, why does Jake never like reply to tweets and things like that? But now that I'm up to like 2,000, like notifications literally get lost in my like.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's weird. I feel the need to tweet that every few days. It's like, hey, like if I don't answer you or your DMs, like anyone, it's not personal. It's just I have so many.
Like this is like straight up a thing that Twitter does because like I have Twitter for desktops open at work sometimes. And if you get too many notifications on Twitter for mobile, it'll straight up just not show any. So there's a discrepancy between desktop and like the notifications I get on my desktop and notifications I get on my phone. So if I don't respond to your tweet or I don't favorite it or whatever and we're cool, then it's likely because like my phone is tripping.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel too. Like people are like, I always feel bad sometimes, and then it'll be like a day later and I'll remember it. I'm like, well, I can't fucking scroll back and find
right it, so. And but that's the thing too, on my phone, like it won't even show up, so I'd have to like go to the tweet and like look under the replies. Exactly. So don't take any offense, anybody.
Good, so I'm piggybacking on that.
But I'm just going, I'm literally landing on Wednesday and I'm leaving Thursday morning at like 6. So
all right, word.
I'll all bet
we'll figure
cool. We just made plans on a podcast.
We made plans on a podcast. Yeah, that's a thing that happened.
You guys are all witness to it.
We are.
Yeah, it would be like the coolest thing of all time if we could close out while I'm in Boston for a playoff game.
Wait. What are you gonna do if we sweep?
I haven't figured that out yet.
You're just gonna come to Boston.
Yeah. I have family, but that would. Be, I mean, if we're going to the NBA Finals, I don't care. I'll take a day trip to Boston.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, who cares? Yeah,
I'll go celebrate in the streets with random folks.
There you go. Dude, go to the Bill Russell statue. Post up Bill Russell statue. I always post up.
You post Bill Russell. Bill Russell? All right.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I got the ball.
I'll take a seat next to Red Auerbach statue. And
yeah, there you go, man.
Take some pictures. Hey, listen, but I don't think we sweep. There's like 0% chance to sweep to me.
No, I don't think we sweep.
Like, we'll take LeBron's best shot. We took LeBron's best shot. But we haven't taken LeBron's best shot and Kevin Love's best shot and Tony Brothers' best shot. So I feel like all three is...
That's Tony Brothers, yeah. He's good, man. That's an adjustment Ty Lue can make. I think that we didn't definitely mention that he could call in Tony Brothers.
You know that line from Avengers where it's like, oh, you know, they have an army. Like, we have a Hulk. I imagine Ty Lue thinking, okay, well, they have a bunch of 6'8 switchable forwards, but we have Tony Brothers. So...
Who's in real trouble now?
Yeah, not even Tony Brothers, but I just feel like our young guys are going to have one game where, you know, things just don't go our way. Because we've been pretty lucky.
There's no way we sweep. I don't think anyone's ever swept LeBron.
No,
I don't know. He's never been swept. I can check that, but it's too hard to sweep him.
Even
the Warriors can't.
My biggest fear is that we're going to lose game four and game three, and then we lose game five. That'd be pretty bad. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, losing three games in the series is usually not too good.
I mean, imagine if we lost four games in the series. We'd be in real trouble.
They'd be in real trouble. Brad Stevens is a great coach. I don't know if he can win a series where he loses four games.
I mean, anything's possible, to be honest here.
Disqualification, something like that, maybe. Bribery.
What? That would be so
some
weird.
FIFA-level shit.
What if there was a way that the Cavs won the series, but then we find out that they, like, cheated? And like the entire roster was on PEDs, and Ty Lue actually paid Tony Brothers under the table.
No, you know what it would have to be. It would have to be they put a uniform on someone else. Like they like swapped in. They put like a mustache on Dwayne Wade and pretended he was.
That would help
else.
The Celtics.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Someone good then.
Yeah. Like Kawhi Leonard all of a sudden shows up.
Yeah, Kawhi. That's what he's been doing. He's been like altering his face so he can appear.
That would and then we. Then the Adam Silver, like, the evidence is so overwhelming that Adam Silver can't ignore it. And then he's like, well, we'll just have to give it to the Celtics.
And then we get to go lose to the Warriors. This is a great sequence. Well, it's a great sequence of events.
It would definitely enhance the Because Brad Stevens effect. So
it would be. Yeah, that's a Brad Stevens coaching adjustment. You don't see that every day.
Yeah, he's going to Jedi mind trick Ty Lue into cheating.
Yeah, yep, this is a good plan.
I like but plan. Ideally, I would like to take game three just because that basically shuts the door. Like, I don't care about losing game four.
That's it, I think.
Yeah. Because we have three more chances after game three?
I think they'll win game four. I think they'll lose game three.
Really? Game four. I hope they win game three just because that would make it 100% sure.
I think the Celtics young guys need an adjustment to the road atmosphere, kind of. Like, I don't think it's like – I think the big narrative is that we can't win the road, which I think is stupid. But I think they still need a game to adjust. Like,
at the same time, I feel like Philly's road atmosphere was probably worse than Cleveland. You think about it. And we won that game.
Yeah, but it's Cleveland.
Also true.
You know, LeBron, he is the thing.
And you have
he
to
will
count,
be scoring 45.
You have to count
series.
On Korver and, like, Rodney Hill playing better at home.
Yep, I think, yeah. Well, by the way, this is, like, written in the stars. It's going to fucking happen. It's going to annoy me so much. J.R. Smith's going to have a good game. Like, I hope everyone knows that. Like, this is going to happen.
The jokes are flying now, but he's going to win a game for the Cavs.
Yeah, he's going to have a stupid fucking game where he hits, like, six or seven threes. Like, it's going to happen. That's why I wanted him suspended. When people are like, oh, you know, it'll help us out.
You don't want to bet on that.
Get that three-point shooter out of here.
You don't want to bet on that.
He's going to hit some fucking bullshit half-court threes. Like, I already know it's going to happen.
It's already making me mad.
Yeah, it's already made me mad. It's made me more mad than you and Tony Brothers.
I don't know. Listen, I was mad offline and online about that.
Yeah, but I'm a naturally salty person. You're not. So I think my threshold for saltiness goes higher.
This is true. I didn't factor that in my calculations.
That's right. Yeah, see, you're not next level wolf. You're only somewhat wolf.
All right. Hey, I have a question for you, actually. Give me your Infinity War MVP.
Oh, well, that's crazy, dude. It's Thor. Okay, but how could it not be Thor?
I just wanted to talk about it, because, listen, that entrance was my favorite, like, movie moment of all time.
Yep, that was awesome. You know what I actually didn't like, though? I didn't like Bruce Banner yelling out. Like,
it ruined the moment.
I thought that was corny as fuck. Like, people love that. I was like, that's
who's
so
he talking
that's
to?
That's so corny. Yeah, who's he?
Like, there's no indication that these creatures speak English.
Yes. What the fuck did that guy think?
That ruined the moment. That was like
when you watch Ragnarok and he has his big moment. No one fucking speaks because it doesn't ruin the moment. Like, but it didn't ruin it. But no, I thought that was corny.
Well,
people like that moment. I wanted to say that. I wanted to throw that.
I ignored it so much because of just. Well, first of all, the Avengers theme playing in the background, which I have a gripe. I have a very big gripe because I went to the on Apple Music to the soundtrack for Infinity War, the official soundtrack.
Yep.
And the Avengers theme is nowhere to be found. Yeah.
Really?
Well, that's weird. It's there, but there's only a 30-second clip of it.
That's fantastic.
It is, because I want, like, the full 3 minutes. Because, I mean, each Avengers movie, the theme changes slightly. So,
yep. This is the best theme.
By far.
Yeah, by far. It was really
good. And it was already an elite theme. But I'm...
Yep.
So I'm really mad that there's not, like, at least, like, a 2-minute or 3-minute version for Infinity War.
That's true.
So that's my gripe.
Yep.
But just...
You could go work out, get
all that. I would add that to all my favorite playlists.
That's all right. Just listen to Immigrant Song over and over again.
But that was I've never smiled harder at a moment in any movie for that long than I did during that scene.
Yep.
Like, I was cheesy.
When he said,
like,
"Bring me Thanos," that was like a fucking "Bring me Thanos" was one.
That's
of the
best line of all time
in the MCU. Yeah, that's the best line in the MCU.
Right.
That line,
and right after it was, "You should have gone for the head." That was good.
That was so cold. That was cold. As well.
I heard that you weren't that impressed with Infinity War overall, narrative wise. I was impressed narrative wise.
Compared to who though? Compared to, I wasn't that impressed with Infinity War compared to people who thought it was like the best movie ever.
It's my favorite Marvel movie.
With it, I thought it was. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not going that. We can have it on another call. But
it's my favorite. Like, not in terms of objectively the best, but it's like my favorite in terms of what.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll argue with that on you. We'll argue about that sometime. But I don't think it's that – like, it's a good movie. I thought it was great. I thought it was, like, second-tier Marvel.
Second-tier.
That's right.
That's not my thing. Okay, well, I don't want to get into, like, a huge Infinity War discussion, but my thing is, like, I went in thinking it was all going to be, you know, just, hey, bad guy, let's all fight the bad guy kind of thing. Which,
yep. Oh, it was way better than that.
They characterized Thanos in a really good way.
They did way better with Thanos than I thought. Like, way better. He was a way better villain, way more compelling than I thought.
I didn't expect to care about him. And
he was good.
And they made him, like, somewhat right in the sense where And not saying that I, you know, don't become eco-terrorists out here, guys.
I'm going to quote you on that. I'm quoting you on that.
Thanos was right.
Thanos did nothing wrong, Andrew Doxley.
Free my man, Thanos. Thanos 2020. No, it's fine. no, but I mean, in the sense that, like, when he made his argument, it's not like it was so blatant. Blatantly wrong where it's like, no, you're stupid.
Yeah, no, he believed in it. Like, it was a... Like, I think it was wrong.
It's wrong. But, it's clearly wrong. But
it was compelling. It was a better reason than, like, he just wants to, like, take over the universe or something. Yeah. But they did fine with him. I think Josh Brolin's a really good actor, too. I think he brought a lot of, like, heavy – he brought a lot of weight to Thanos.
He did.
Like, just, like, his way of speaking.
The
kind of articulate.
The combo he hit Hulk with in the beginning, that first scene was
so
elite.
Savage. Oh, my God.
I felt like he was punching me, though. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, right? Like, that was – like, dude, he treated him like a piece of trash.
But in the sense that what took away from that scene for me was Loki saying, we have a Hulk. I was like, there's no reason for that. That makes no sense for him to say that.
Yeah.
And especially, like, what was Hulk doing
the whole time. He's hiding the whole time.
Did they, like, agree before Thanos came? Like, Hulk, you're going to wait in the corner, and when I say we have a Hulk, that's when we come out.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah, you're going to pop out. It's going to be really cool. We're going to get him.
We're going to wait.
Let everyone die.
We're
going
to wait for Heimdall to get pierced first and eliminate any chance of getting away cleanly, and then you're going to come out and beat Thanos.
It'll be so cool. It'll be a really good movie moment.
Yeah, that was not.
What do you mean everyone's going to die? No, fine. We're not going to die, and that's an important thing.
Terrible missed opportunity to put Valkyrie back in the movie, but...
I think they just didn't know she was going to be super popular. Because think of it, they finished filming before Ragnarok came out, probably, right? I think they kind of just didn't know she was going to be super popular.
Same thing with Black Panther, too. They filmed right before.
Yeah, he didn't get enough.
Yeah, well, there's only 2.5 hours, so...
That's true. Yeah, Cap got slighted. Cap was like, barely enough.
Yeah. His best moment was haircut, huh? Something like that.
Yeah. Then Thor saying he's envious of his beard, like he's copying his beard, was good.
And I am Steve Rogers.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to stop this because you said you had to go at 5:30.
Yeah.
And for the viewers, it's now 5:45.
Yeah. That's right. Infinity War took over my life. What? It was good. That's all I'm going to say. It was good.
All right. Celtics in 5.
Celtics in 5. That's my prediction.
Celtics in 5.
I said Celtics in 6 before the series started, but Celtics in 5 just because I'm going to game 5. So
okay, I'm gonna say Celtics in 6. Yes, in Cleveland. Yes.
No. I want to be there. I want to be there for the whatever clever chant that they come up with. That's the new version of the 1987 beat LA. Was it 87?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, 86.
Or 86. Well, 86. They played Houston. 86. So it had to be 87, right?
Well,
was it 84?
86, 87.
Oh yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Whatever. I wasn't alive.
We're not historians.
Yeah, right? That's not fucking ancient history, dude. It's the 80s. Come on, man. Who's
season 5, the 80s? And I'm going to be there. It's going to be great.
All right, sounds good. Season 6. My pod. I get last word.
I feel slighted, but whatever. That's why you pay me the big bucks to be the scapegoat.
That's true. You get the big bucks to be the scapegoat. Yep. So when the Celtics don't win in 5, I get to blame you.
Ouch. But when the Celtics win in 5, it's still my fault.
Okay. All right. You can at me.
I won't, because I'm your co-host. It's your pod.
That's right. So we gotta stick together. When it suits.
Right.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yep. All right. Bye.